Alright, welcome Crass Files members, and I'm plugging in here on Wednesday night, the 14th of December, 2022. I'm here in Sydney, Australia, and you're listening to the Night Watch podcast with Adam. Gives me a chance to plug in and go over all the latest, whatever's in front of me, of course. So it's the Night Watch podcast, and good to be on deck with you guys. Everything's up on the website, of course, so plenty going up. Hope you guys are getting into the members area as well. There's a new podcast category going up there, so there's a couple in there at the moment, and I'll be doing more when I can. And they are the Reading and Observation podcast with Adam, and then there's the Night Watch podcast with Adam, and my normal shows as well. Should be on with Jason Woodforth, hopefully, if I can, we can make it work tomorrow. And then it'll be fairly quiet. I'm going to see my folks this weekend, but we'll be back next week for some more podcasts with my guests. So they'll be coming up, quite a few, so look out for those. We'll be pretty busy heading towards the end of this year anyway. And it's been a busy year, hasn't it? I can't keep the website up and running without member support, so member support is crucial, it's critical at this time, to be honest, because the Crass Files website is it's run by members now. It's just slipped into that, so that's the way that it is, and member support has never been so important. I've also beefed up the donate tab on the website, which is throbbing in and out now, so people can't miss it. So if anyone wants to make extra donations to keep me going here, that's really important as well, and much, much appreciated, because I've got some more bills coming up to keep this website up and running. So I've lost a few members recently and not gained any, so it's it hurts. And it's only $5 a month, I don't understand, but a few people have logged out, and that's just the way that it is. What I'm doing here and what we're talking about, and sometimes the guests we have on aren't going to be heaps popular, but it's just what we cover, and it's just what we're doing here at this time. We're just making a joke, I think, this morning, because my Twitter account got blocked. I've been on Twitter under Mr. Crass for years and years, but I usually just post on there. I usually just share info on there, because I've got a widget on the website and it looks nice. So that Twitter account's been going for ages, but I got up this morning and they said it was it's been temporarily frozen. I guess for a comment that I made on there, and it was basically just I think it was on there. Yesterday morning or something, and I was on Mark McGowan's page, because someone put something up, and the Premier of Western Australia, and he was on his page, he was gloating and boasting about the COVID numbers, the cases, and he had a big list up, and he had daily stats and weekly stats, and he had his weekly stats up, and it was thousands and thousands of COVID cases. And I said, hey Mark, how come you locked down Perth and the Peel regions and locked it all down for one case, and now you're sitting up here gloating on about thousands of cases, but you're not locking anyone down? How does that make any sense? And then I noticed the followers of Mark McGowan over there in Western Australia. There's all these followers, heaps of them, on his page on Twitter. And one of them was crying about masks and begging Mark to bring the masks back. Mark, I don't feel safe. Mark, when are you going to make the masks mandatory again on public transports and the metro? I feel unsafe at this time. I'm quivering. People need to put the mask back on. And I made a comment about putting people in concentration camps and having their heads blown off. Would that make you happy? And they blocked me. I wasn't making a threat. I was just saying, what do these people want? I mean, they're not happy unless they're living under tyranny. It's really unbelievable. They're pathetic. whoever they are, they're just absolutely utterly pathetic. Of course, we've had a situation in Australia recently, what I believe is an extreme false flag, and this has taken place in Queensland, and I don't have a lot on me, or I didn't save much, but apparently a couple of police officers have been shot and killed on a property in Queensland. And this is all being blown up by the media now. So now they're looking, the media are blowing up, the dark history of the cop killing brothers has now been revealed. So they're saying that there were these two brothers and they lured these two young police officers into a rural Queensland property and killed them. And now we find out, of course, through the media that they were conspiracy theorists. They were heavily armed. I mean, the whole thing, everybody, when I go on Telegram, and everybody's just so suspicious about this, and so they should be, because it's just a false flag, it's not real. And so straight away, they said that they ambushed and shot dead the constables, and a neighbour. And how disgusting this is, and all of this. Anyway, straight away the media are all over this yesterday afternoon and today, and they're putting it everywhere. And of course, there was a host of conspiracy theories discovered online. So a series of posts under the name Gareth Train. This was apparently one of the killers of the police officers. He had forums, of course. This is like the US false flags as well, where they have these weird social media accounts. And there was references, of course, to anti-vaccine sentiments and claims high-profile shootings were hoaxes or false flag operations, including Port Arthur. And there was also a post about Prince Diana was a blood sacrifice. So this is all going on, and there was a couple of things, there was a couple of other ones I was looking at on Twitter as well. PSYOP complete, anyway, they're calling in Queensland now, very quick, they're calling for further gun restrictions, just what we need in Australia when we don't have any access to guns anyway. It's super hard, but Queensland Police Union now are calling for weapons licensing systems reviews after the tragic shooting, which I believe is, of course, a false flag. So there's a whole lot of weird stuff coming out about this. And of course, the media all over this today, that they're into conspiracy theories, and the main thing they're into, of course, for some reason, after luring police officers for no reason to their property and killing them for absolutely no reason, we don't know anything about this, apparently they were anti-vaxxers. So this is what I've always said on this podcast, always problem, reaction, solution. But what they're going for now is they're going for criminalizing freedom of speech. And I don't know how they're going to do that. We just got to keep fighting. But what this is they're going to try and scare everybody to shut up. And it's getting into critical times now, because what they want is they want people to shut their mouths. And they don't want people circulating anything. They want you to take the jabs. They don't want any bad information about the jabs. And they're going to do these pathetic false flag staged events to bring in more restrictions against freedom of speech and people being able to have their say. So really, really disgusting, isn't it? And I don't believe any of it, especially because you just got to look at how suspect it is. You know, why out of suddenly nowhere did these brothers kill these police officers in their property like that? And then why did the media suddenly out of nowhere say that they were conspiracy theorists and they were anti-vaxxers and all of this? You know what I mean? You've really just got to put two and two together and just see what they're doing here. They're trying to crush free speech, and they're doing it in New Zealand, and they're doing it here, and that's their big next goal. They want to heavily restrict what we can say and do online. As we said, they want to bring down heavy enforcement and fines of alternative social media platforms, for example. And do all sorts of things. I was looking at a BitChute post today. You know, I have a channel up on BitChute. Apparently their money has been frozen and they can't get it back or something. So this is all going on, and this is what the system is doing. They want to shut everybody up so nobody has an opinion. I thought Elon Musk was there to save Twitter, and then now this morning my account was frozen. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Anyway, that was the dark history of the cop-killing brothers revealed. That was quick, wasn't it? So now they've got a dark history. And what's the dark history? They're questioning the jabs, and they're questioning Port Arthur. So you can see they've thrown a bunch of these things into a bucket, and they're thrown in Port Arthur and all of this, like you're a bad person, and it's a bad thing to question a clear false flag shooting under John Howard's government that was clearly done to strip Australians of their gun rights. I mean, anyone with half a brain would honestly have to know this. It's pretty obvious and in your face, but they're throwing that in there. And they're throwing other things in there as well. So, and I look at the pictures of the cops and the photos and how this is all managed and put together. It looks very weird to me. They got another one here. Cop killer's despicable final act brings a tear to the eye. This is from Yahoo News. Questions continue to swirl around the motive behind the heinous ambush. So this is what these guys do. They just wait up there in remote properties to ambush police and shoot them. Of Queensland police at a remote property on Monday, and the investigators are probing the dark past of those involved. See, the investigators are not probing anything else. What they're probing is the dark past that's been conveniently set up for these probably actors or cops that are doing this. So they're two brothers, Nathaniel and Gareth Train, along with Nathaniel's wife, Stacey, were killed by specialist police in a hail of bullets after the trio murdered two young police officers and their neighbour in cold-blooded ambush. They supposedly shot dead constables Matthew Arnold, 26, and Rachel McCrow, 29, even reportedly standing over their injured bodies and firing more bullets into the officers as they lay on the ground. Two other police officers and constables managed to survive the attack in dramatic circumstances. Does any of this sound real to you? As specialist tactical officers later arrived, the trains continued their onslaught in what's been described as a final despicable act. And it goes on. It just brings a tear to the eye what was done, this despicable, murdering, evil trio, and what they have done here. They're already on ABC TV and all the morning shows and everything, and this is going viral through the MSM media. Anyway, the most important thing to look at here is police probe the conspiracy links. Queensland police will investigate whether the officers were lured to the rural property by the killers, who have since been linked to extremist online communities. And that's anyone questioning the jabs or anything. If you're questioning the government, you're an extremist, just like in New Zealand. They said the investigators would look at the killers' possible extremist links after a series of posts under the name Gareth Train were uncovered on conspiracy theory forums. The posts include references to anti-vaccine sentiments. Geez, that's a terrorism act, isn't it? Wow, what a terrorist. That's absolutely unbelievable. The police investigators and the police commissioner are probing the killer's possible extremist links on social media platforms. What are they? Anti-vaccine sentiments. Unbelievable, isn't it? Why does that have anything to do with this case? Aren't people allowed to be anti-vaccine anymore? I mean, what's the problem with that? I mean, I'd understand if they had some extreme things going on where they were plotting to murder people or something like that, but I mean, anti-vaccine sentiment. So we can see here that this is a false flag just based on that, and that's all I need to know. This is how low the police departments in this country are, our governments are, and this is how low the Anastasia Palaszczuk is, and all of these people involved are utter demons. And they're going to use this ridiculous staged event that makes no sense to go after people who are saying anything about the toxic Pfizer jabs online. Again here, all the bottom of this article is all about the dark history of the Train Brothers and their toxic online conspiracy theories. And the Daily Mail or the Daily Fail has jumped on this as well. And of course they moved off grid. How evil. Oh my God. And they had solar panels, satellite dishes, and you can't believe this one. You're not going to believe this. Talk about terrorists. Septic tanks. And you're not going to believe that they had water tanks as well. Oh my God. So these brothers were living off grid and they were conspiracy theorists because they didn't want vaccines and they didn't believe in them. And they also had solar panels, satellite dishes, septic tanks and water tanks. Oh my God. The police are probing it right now and the Daily Mail are onto it. These people are terrorists. Oh, they had fortified and barred doors. They had some guns. Oh, this is terrible. I just can't believe it. So this is either a complete stage false flag where those people don't even exist, or they do exist and they've set them up. You know, they've set them up and done this to them, and like they did to Martin Bryant, same sort of deal, right? Because it's interesting they brought in Martin Bryant here, who they completely double-crossed and set up. He didn't even know what was going on and had nothing to do with this. So, you know, these could be a couple of brothers who don't like the Queensland government and have their own property and the police know about them, and so we'll use them. That's perfect. So we'll set up a murder of police. You know, it's like one of those movies, isn't it? You know, we'll lay the weapons down on them and set them up, and we're done. So really unbelievable. This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. Red alarm bells everywhere I look in this, because the media are really hamming this up. They're really putting a lot of drama on this. And they're not only are they saying that these killers are cop killers and they're despicable, and not only are they saying they're cold-blooded murderers and what they did is disgusting and they're just filthy monsters, in that same context, they're tying these people up to anti-vaxxers and conspiracy theorists so that the public see all of us like that. It's a really despicable and low and pathetic move, and if people are stupid enough in this country to believe this shit, then they get everything that they deserve. This is a psyop. I don't believe in this at all, and just watch for what they do in Queensland now, I guess. Problem, reaction, solution. Now they're desperately wanting to bring in new legislations to restrict what we can do and say online. That's what they're going to do. And I said this, I've been saying this for years, where they want to criminalize what we're doing. They want to criminalize you for saying stuff on social media or having your own website or doing podcasts or saying anything. Everybody, it's not just the big guys, it's anybody, and they want to scare people. And then they'll start having like fake arrests and fake takedowns to scare the mob, and then they really will. So it's really absolutely unbelievable what they're doing, that they would go to these levels and this low to do this. I'm not saying the actual killing didn't happen. What I'm saying, though, is this is all very shady, and I don't buy into any of it. And it's just how quickly the media are saying that they were tied to anti-vaccine sentiments and stuff. No, thank you very much. I don't buy any of this. I did put up this one on the just moving over to Florida. Look, it's a start. And I posted this today and the video as well, which is worth people's time just to watch. Whether you trust all this or you don't, I don't know. But Governor DeSantis petitions for grand jury on COVID mRNA vaccines and public advisory board for oversight. West Palm Beach, Governor DeSantis and Florida Surgeon General Dr. Joseph Ladapo will hold a roundtable on vaccine accountability for the COVID-19 shots. The roundtable was titled Public Health Integrity Committee and included multiple medical and health academia specialists who spoke about risks from the jabs and expressed concerns about the politicization and medical science during the pandemic. DeSantis planning to hold vaccine makers accountable for any side effects in that state, I'm guessing. The events follow previous announcements by the governor about holding COVID vaccine manufacturers accountable for the side effects of their jabs. And this is happening in other US states as well that I was reading. Some other states are doing these roundtables and discussing this. When announcing the accountability initiative on December 9, DeSantis cited several studies showing an increased risk of myocarditis and pericarditis in adolescents and young male patients after receiving the shots. And the Centers for Disease Control and Creation also acknowledging that the myocarditis and inflammation of the heart muscle is happening through the jabs. But these brothers who supposedly killed cops in Queensland are evil because they're questioning vaccines that are doing this to people. I mean, look what the governor of Florida is doing, but the Queensland police are tying anti-vaccine sentiments to people who supposedly killed cops on their property. So, and I mean, how does it make sense? Anyone should be able to question these jabs. They're dangerous and they're killing people. What's the problem? So in this country, it's looking like they don't want any of this happening. And they even with the 13 or 14% increase in random deaths in this country, which has caused alarm all around the world, they still won't answer to it. No, I'll get to that one anyway. So it goes through the stats here and how healthy young children are getting heart inflammation and dying and all of this. After the roundtable ended, the governor's press secretary announced the state would be seeking the following accountability measures about the COVID response blunders and falsehoods. The governor's office released information about investigations, the jury impaneled would perform. They will include investigation of the pharmaceutical industry and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration about their refusal to release patent-level data for independent researchers, as well as crimes and wrongs in Florida related to the COVID-19 vaccines, and further recommended or enforcement methods. The petition that they're doing, also investigations will pertain to violations of the Florida Drug and Cosmetic Act, the Florida Rocketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organization Act, and crimes involving fraud and deceit. They're also looking at financial gain. Anyway, yeah, it goes on. But it's something, isn't it? I'm wondering where this is all going to go. I mean, as I was saying on previous podcasts, how long can this go on? Look at the, as I said, the stats in Australia now, in many countries, of sudden deaths, when it's normally around a couple of percent, and now it's skyrocketing to 14-15% in this country alone. Even the health professionals themselves are looking at that and shaking their head and saying, what the hell? Obviously, they're putting pressure now on the Australian government to act and look into it. But with multi-trillion dollar pharmaceutical corporations behind this, it's just nothing but rotten corruption. So, unbelievable. Before I move on with my articles, just going back to the Queensland thing with the cop killers and the Despicable Act. You know, and these two brothers that lured the cops to their property in a remote area of Queensland and killed them, and they were barbaric and horrible. And the most important thing here from the Australian mainstream scum, filth media, is that they had anti-vaccination beliefs. So please understand, and I know you guys do, that this has nothing to do with the actual psychological operation of the cop killing. What it's about is tying anti-vaxxers to extremists and conspiracy theorists to extremists and domestic terrorism. That's what it's about. And that's what their goal is going to be here as we move into Agenda 2030. They want to criminalize what I'm doing here, for example. They want to criminalize people for having their own ideas and beliefs and not thinking in the way that the media says to. What the government tells you, what the mainstream media tells you, well, the big corporations tell you, you will fit in this box and you will believe this, and this is how you will think, and this is how you will operate in your day-to-day lives, and this is what you will believe. You will watch our media, you will read our papers, you will do what we say. If you think outside that square, we're going to tie you to terrorism. And that's what these desperate cases are about. So let's hope that these fucking assholes are shooting themselves in their own feet. Because if you look at what cops have done to Australians over the last couple of years around the country and in Melbourne and in Sydney, these vicious bastards, what they have done, I don't have any care for these kinds of cases. I don't care because I don't believe it. I don't believe anyone was killed. I think this is a complete psyop. So, you know, it's not about killing cops. It's about tying anti-vaxxers and so-called conspiracy theorists to the domestic terrorism tag, and you're a danger, you're a threat. That's their next big move, so watch for it. It's coming, and they're going to try to push through legislation. Hopefully we have enough pushback and enough good people actually in certain positions to help us here, because if this goes through, it's going to be really, really difficult to even do this. I mean, it is, because if they criminalize what we're doing, it's going to be pretty scary. But you know, it's all about fear, but God knows if they can actually. I mean, I guess they can do what they want. If you look at what they did with the lockdowns, if you look at what was done with COVID, if you look what Andrews did, if you look what Berejiklian did, if you look what this Muppet did in Queensland, locking the borders so people couldn't even go across a border, if you look at what they've already done, then criminalizing free speech and putting you in prison for thinking a different way, it's not really a far stretch for me. And I think this is dangerous times. But in looking at this, what have we been saying over and over again on this podcast? That this system is going to become so desperate. And what do I keep saying? Buckle up. I keep saying buckle up, because they're going to get desperate. And when the system becomes desperate because it wants to maintain order and control, things are going to get scary. And we have to band together, and we have to buckle up, and we have to fight this together and keep moving forward. There's no way back now. If this is where they're going to go, we have to face the storm. We can't, because a lot of people doing in the Truther movement or alternative media network, and people have channels and social media channels they're going to run. A lot of them have. A lot of them have run to Mexico. They've got out of here. In a way, I don't blame them, you know. And I think that I don't think there's anything wrong with that if they're continuing their research and they're continuing their work. But a lot of them have bolted. And I particularly don't want to be in this fucking country anymore. To be honest, especially with a child. I think these people are dangerous, they're compromised, and they're extremely, extremely sick. To be pulling these kinds of things and then having the media whitewash this out to the public about all these bullshit, they're conspiracy theorists and they have anti-vaccine beliefs, this is fucking bullshit. And it's all about making us into some kinds of domestic terrorists. That's what they want to do. Do what we tell you to do. Watch our media. Do what we say, or this is what happens. So it's happening on steroids in New Zealand, and it's coming here too. Unbelievable. And they really want to disarm people. They don't even want you to have a fucking butter knife. And if this is true, even if it were true, which it's not, but even if it is true, it's not in my book, I don't know what people think, but I don't believe any of this. But even if it was, why should I have any mercy or any care for Australian police after how they've treated us and the people of this country over the last couple of years with their COVID response? I don't have any care for them. I don't have any faith in them. I don't trust them at all, ever. And if people think that they can't do what they did again at the drop of a hat, you're living in a dream world, because they will. Why? Because they follow orders and they do what they're told, and they work for pedophile Freemasons, and that's just a fact. And the system itself doesn't like all this hardcore information coming out now, and things are becoming wacky and extreme, as even the mainstream alternative media networks become so overrun with shills and imposters and all of this stuff. This is why I find it hard to get support here, because everyone's supporting the shills. And it's just like that, you know. And so, you know, we're the ones that want to stop. We're the ones, you know, this is the kind of stuff that is, because we know the truth. We know the truth. We're calling out their psychological operations, their false flags, their bullshit, you know, and they don't like it. They don't like it. It's amazing. Once everyone moved away from Facebook and YouTube and they went on Telegram and all these channels and formed groups, the media has just driven the media crazy. They can't stand it, because the media, no one gives a shit about the media anymore. They're worthless. They're worthless shit. That's what they are. Who's watching any of their fucking trash anymore? God knows who. You'd have to be brain dead to be watching the mainstream media in this country. The mainstream Australian media is probably one of the worst on this planet. All of them, all the characters playing in this game, they're all just soulless, gutless, spineless, cowardly cretins. And I despise them. I think they're just despicable. All of them. So here we go, folks. False flag operations where police are being killed, and then then tying the killers to the anti-vaccination and conspiracy movement. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah. I did post this the other day just to change the subject slightly. Just to change the subject slightly, I just wanted to, just in case you missed it on the website. If you remember the Australian winter, this year, and Europe and the UK having a very hot, kind of nice, dry, sort of hot summer. Remember we were talking about this, how the media over there was scaring everybody that there was all these people going to have heart attacks because it was too hot and there was this heat wave. And we also talked about the European news weather programs showing the maps, and it was all in red and it wasn't even that hot. And then there was like hotter days many years ago, and they just had it normal, you know what I mean? So scaring everybody into believing that it's global warming, basically, you know. And we talked about this, and I obviously speak with quite a few folks over there in the UK, and I know some people, and they said, no, it's warm, but it's great, you know. But according to the mainstream media, everyone was having heart attacks because it was too hot and all of this. Now they're doing it in Australia. And over the past few weeks, they've been petrifying Australians that there's going to be this extreme heat wave. And I was actually sending some of these Daily Fail and all these Australian fuckwit mainstream media dickheads post to Jason, and we were laughing about it like about a week or so ago. Some of the headlines were unbelievable, you know. Prepare, shut your windows, they said, you know. This heat is going to destroy us all, you know, it's an apocalypse, and all these headings in the media, you know, and they're scaring everybody that there was going to be this unbelievable massive heat wave in Australia that was going to kill so many people. And except for outside of a few areas that are always hot anyway, nothing happened. It's been really mild here and nice, and I haven't spoken to anyone who said there was a heat wave whatsoever. Anyway, I put up an article here on the website if you missed it, and it was the coldest day in Australia and nobody said anything. WeatherZone reported that last Thursday, I think it was, the equal coldest morning ever recorded anywhere in Australia in summer. Oddly, there was no emergency warnings. There was the night before, no news stories announcing the area might hit a new record of freezing, no camera teams visiting the scene from the MSM, and the bomb did not invent a cold snap emergency alert system to tell Australians to put on a jumper. On Thursday, Perisher Valley in the Australian Alps got down to -7 Celsius, which is 19 Fahrenheit, equaling the record set in Perisher Valley in January 1979, and which was also reached at Charlotte's Pass in December 1999. Oddly, no one blamed this on climate change or mentioned that it would have been worse if we hadn't burnt all that coal. After all, without CO2, it would have been -10, right? There were more news headlines about the heat that didn't happen than there were about the cold that did. While no media outlets in this country have mentioned this cold record, many have run the story that temperatures might reach 48 this weekend, and they issued plenty of warnings, but it was a fizzer. The hottest on record, I think, was 44 in Australia, and looks like they're going to miss on all of this, so nothing happened. It's supposed to be hot here in December in Australia, yet snow has continued to fall on the Australian ski fields in New South Wales, Victoria and Tasmania this year, with a staggering 25 centimetres falling on Perisher Valley just days before summer officially began. December the 9th, last week, 2022, Australia's equal lowest summer temperature on record, Perisher Valley, New South Wales, -7. Nothing from the Australian mainstream media fuckwits and zealots. They didn't say a thing. Where was Greta? Where was the climate fear-mongering, climate change zealot mob? Nowhere to be seen. Instead, they're telling us that there's going to be droughts and heat waves. What have we been talking about with Sharon? Yeah, because this is what they want to create. But it isn't happening. And instead, we had the coldest day with -7 and snow in the middle of summer, recorded on December the 9th in Perisher Valley, and none of them said a word. See? So this is absolutely incredible. And I'll just send this to... Stephen, who's a former One Nation guy. I don't think I sent that to him. He was interested in that as well. Well, man, what a lie, eh? What an absolute crock. These people are sick. Looking at the mRNA jabs here in Australia, I'm just switching over to TOTTnews.com. And on TOTT News, you can see an exclusive interview with Chef Pete Evans, if you're interested in catching up with Pete. Another great person who's been... speaking out and pretty much lost so much. But, you know, he hasn't lost anything. What he's done is he's gained. He's lost TV contracts, multi-million dollar TV contracts with my Master Chef rules or whatever the fuck it is. He's lost all these kinds of deals, but it's all illusion-based. It's all illusion-based, and now he's found a true purpose, and that's a really good interview. So get over there to TOTT News if you want to hear that and check out. There's a snippet there as well. So good on you, Ethan and Pete Evans for that. This one from there is interesting. I was reading this morning, actually. Queensland joins mRNA revolution with plans for new research hubs. So one of the world's largest vaccine manufacturers will set up a major mRNA hub in Brisbane. Isn't that wonderful? As Australia hopes to lead the world with innovation and research into the technology. Even though people don't want any more than two jabs, and everyone's getting sick and dying all over the world, and our sudden death stats are going up to nearly 15% because of these jabs, and people, from what I hear, don't want any more. Don't worry, they're going to give you more. It's like down the park here where I live. All the community got together for years and years and years to stop a 5G tower. They had massive meetings. They have letterbox drops. The community are furious. They didn't want the tower there because all of the sports fields, and every Saturday and Sunday there's all sorts of sports going on, all the kids are playing. What did they do? They just put one up anyway. They don't care. That's what I said. They don't care. It's up there now. It's up now. They just put it up. So I'm just suddenly getting ringing in my ears, which worries me. Seems like these... you know what I mean? So the system doesn't care what you want or you don't want, or your groups, or how angry the community are. You know what I mean? They don't care about that. They don't care about that. Your voices and your opinions don't mean shit to this system. And these companies like Telstra and the technicians that install these towers and work for them, you're scum. You're scum, all of you. You're scum. And I hope you know that. They probably don't know that, but you are building the infrastructure of evil and tyranny, and you're implementing that onto us and our kids. So any of these people, all the way down the line, from the biggest to the smallest, who are involved in this web of tyranny, you are shutting off your true light. And I hope it's worth it. I hope it's worth it. Our guiding light, our higher dimensional selves. our spiritual guide, our guardian angel, our other self. If you're interested in this, I've been covering this in the last couple of podcasts, in the new podcast, which is in the members area on the Kraz Files for members, and those are the reading and observation podcasts. And I'm looking at all of this stuff and life after death and all of this. It's just a way to offer more content to the Kraz members. So if you haven't heard those, get into the members area. They're up now, and have a listen to those. Because these people are all participating. Same with the cops. Same with the cops. And all these people that are participating in this system of evil, they are not here to help. They are not like us. And they are shutting off their light, and they have no connection to their true spiritual selves, which is a projection, which is projecting us. That's what we've been talking about. So, and we do. We're in constant contact with our true selves and our light, and we're moving forward here, and we're doing the job that we were brought here to do and why we came back to do. And I'm doing it. And if I go out and I die, I'm not scared, because I'm not scared of death, because I know that it's only that. Death is reality. This is a projection. This is like a game, and we're here. And death is going back home. You know? So I don't fear it. And I don't. That's why I don't fear these people, because they're evil and they're putrid and they're disgraceful and they're disgusting. And if they want to act like this in this life and do all this stuff to humanity, then so be it. All we can do is try to counter it. Anyway, the Queensland government, one of the world's largest vaccine innovators, and two Australian universities have announced that they will collectively commit $280 million towards establishing the Translational Science Hub. Translational Science Hub. $280 million. Imagine what that could do to help people and build a better planet. You know? Imagine how that much money could help people who really need it. Instead, they're putting $280 million into exterminating people and transhumanism. So there's unlimited money for that, but there's no money for what we really need to do. And they're calling this a science hub, even though this has nothing to do with science. It's inverted. It's satanic, so that cannot be real science. It will be a biomedical research center focused on developing mRNA technology. And what have I been saying on this podcast since day one? That as they jab people, they will continue with the boosters to test on people, and they will continue this technology testing on people who are not well, and go for more shots and all of this. So the technology continues. They've done the first lot, and now they're just going to continue with their experiments as they develop this and they perfect it. And this partnership, which will involve scientists from the University of Queensland, Satanic, and Griffith University, Satanic, is expected to create roughly 200 jobs within the research and clinical trials ecosystem. As real jobs get taken away, this is where all the jobs are going to be created. But you've got to be willing to work for the devil and give up your soul. Well, not give up your soul, but cancel your light, and put yourself in a very, very dark and difficult decision when you do die, or environment, sorry, planes of torment. Instead of moving forward, you're going to be kind of going backwards. So be it. Of course, researchers and healthcare professionals dedicated to improving mRNA technology and the slaughter of humanity, Who's at the head of this? Anastasia Palaszczuk. And what is she doing in her photo? She's standing like Superman with her hands on her hips. She's announcing on Twitter a global vaccine company is coming here. mRNA vaccines will be developed in Queensland. Isn't that incredible, folks? There's 1.3k replies to that. Let's have a look at the replies. No. What for? We all know it is not worth the risks, but you go ahead and waste more of our money. Agenda 2030, Anastasia Palaszczuk is a murderer. It's like investing in the Titanic. What is this for? Why, the body count is already high enough. Anyway, yeah, it was. I try to look at some of the forums and comments, so fairly positive there. I guess it just depends on how much we take, huh? So, Anastasia Palaszczuk boasting about a global vaccine company coming to Queensland, and they're going to develop new jabs, even though no one wants any more in Queensland. But you're going to get more. The science hub, as they call it, will be located across the state, utilizing laboratories and infrastructure of the University of Queensland and Griffith University and new research institutes. Paris-based Sanofi will connect Australian scientists with researchers in France and the United States, who will together focus on developing a world-first mRNA vaccine for sexually transmittable infection, chlamydia, as well as other mRNA vaccines. So they've got hundreds of these mRNA vaccines coming down the pipeline for everything. I mean, if you get up in the morning and you have a little bit of a headache, or you're a bit frustrated, or any number, a million and one things, they're going to have an mRNA shot for it. You know, if your kids don't like eating avocados because they're green and slimy, they'll give you an mRNA shot, your kids, and then they'll love them. Unbelievable. And Australia is becoming the mRNA central. Anyway, during the pandemic, medical researchers, as they call themselves, began lobbying the Morrison government to establish a homegrown facility to reduce the country's reliance on offshore producers for vaccines. In March 22, Victoria became, of course, we know, the first place in the Southern Hemisphere to link an mRNA vaccine deal, thanks to an agreement between Moderna and Daniel Andrews and the Commonwealth. Construction will soon begin on Australia's first mRNA manufacturing facility. mRNA is the software of life, says Moderna's Chief Technical Operations and Quality Officer Juan Andres. Australia is indeed investing heavily in software. At the beginning of November, Australia's biotech manufacturing giant CSL, they're the ones who came up with that Fluvax that killed all those kids and crippled all those children back a few years, signed a new deal for $313 million. Can you believe these people? To bring the next generation mRNA flu shots to our shores. They don't hide it, do they? 313, there's your 33. So everyone can be happy and sleep easier at night, folks, and we can celebrate in the streets like our football team just won the World Cup, because CSL, a child killing pharmaceutical corporation, they're going to bring their toxic next generation mRNA flu vaccines to Australia. So we all should be celebrating in the streets. And they're building one in a new facility in Brisbane. Anyway, mRNA vaccines are not gone. And in fact, they're part of our future. And this is all now being announced. As I said, how are they going to be part of a future if people don't want them? And are they going to force us? Well, they can't force us yet, can they? So how are these vaccines going to be part of our future? Well, I guess they're going to be offering them for more fake viruses and fake, illnesses and things like that, and make up lots of things. But what about all the people who are going to be starting to become dreadfully ill over the next years and decade? I guess they'll have lots of jabs for them as well, so they can have some type of life. So these governments and this creature and these companies and this system, they're taking a hammer to the human soul. They're taking a hammer to it, and they don't care anymore. These people are despicable. They're devils. They're evil. They're against natural law. They're against God. They hate the human spirit. They hate human life. They hate children. They're despicable, evil, filthy scum. And now they're taking a sledgehammer to all of this, and anything that is pure and good and innocent, that they're just smashing it to pieces. And this evil satanic train is just driving straight through the center of human life, and they have no means to stop. It's going to continue. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Going back, because I'll bring in this, because this was from TOT News as well. Western Sydney, which is an hour from me out that way. Western Sydney to become a smart city for the 22nd century. Sydney's third city. So they've got plans out there for sure, and for Newcastle and these places. New South Wales is expanding their western regions with a massive upgrade project. And of course, all this technology was installed while we were all locked down. The first buildings in Sydney's newest city, the Bradfield City Centre, is now under construction, with the Western Parkland City Authority lodging a state significant development application. This new 100-hectare city will be built as part of the New South Wales government commitment of more than $1 billion to enable a major technological hub to the Western Sydney International Airport. Never mind putting $1 billion into having better lives, they're building smart city infrastructure. This is the smart city for the 22nd century. New South Wales to build smart city fit for 22nd century. The Jetsons. Here we go, folks. It's the Jetsons. The first building will house, share, use advanced manufacturing equipment for research institutions and partners like CSIRO to translate ideas into products for manufacturing in the Western Parkland City. You'll even have little TV monitors in your bedroom, in the toilet, in your lounge room, on your watch. It'll come up in your smartphone of Dominic Perrottet giving you little messages and telling you you're a little smart slave in a little smart system. And to do what he says, do push-ups. Dominic will come on your TV, on your little screen in the morning, and say, do 50 push-ups, or we'll have you arrested. Just like in 1984. The building is a window into the future. It brings smart design, sustainable materials, passive energy, and genuine tribute to a place and country that sets benchmark for the built environment in the Western Parkland. I'm sure when they have all these new events and these new facilities and everything, they'll be thanking the Aboriginals. we're standing on Aboriginal land. Have you seen these? They build these massive stadiums now. Massive stadiums for sporting events with 70, 80,000 people full of microwave frequencies and 5G. And then they get up there and they say, before the game commences, we want to pay our tributes to the original custodians of this land, the Aboriginal peoples who used to walk this land. We respect you. What a load of fucking bullshit. This would make any Aboriginal elders turn around in their graves, what they're doing. And it shows you how disgusting and insidious this system is, because they're milking that whole Aboriginal theme to make everybody buy into it, you know, and it's really shameful and grotesque to me. And anyway, they're calling it exciting. And I guess for the brain-damaged, dumbed-down slaves, it will be exciting with their new iPhones and stuff. And this is the 20-minute cities as well. This is an exciting step forward for the new city in Western Sydney. It's another city within Sydney, by the way, being built from the ground up. The design shows what a high-tech shared-use hub will look like in a building, which will look like as we create a home for industries of the future. Everyone's going to live in there, I guess. And I guess everything will be around 20 minutes from where they are. Maybe they'll have like escalator walkways. The architects responsible for this design are Hassel Studio, the same group responsible for the International Convention Centre in Sydney and Perth's Optus Stadium. Optus Stadium, as we know, became Australia's first fully 5G-enabled stadium in the country. So, if you go to Optus Stadium to watch a sporting event, you're getting toasted, like a toasted cheese sandwich. You're getting microwaved. And your brain's being mashed like mashed potato and butter. And those frequencies, oh, they're doing good work on those jab people as well. Exciting all that graphene oxide and all those little metallic octopus structures and machines doing their work inside people's bloodstreams. Now they're going to turn the whole entire, our entire regions into smart city dystopian places, I guess. So this is very interesting, isn't it? Smart hubs, livable, workable, breathable, beautiful, I guess. This is part of Premier Perrottet's vision for a livable, workable, beautiful Sydney, one that is heavily leaned on by smart city innovation and transformation. And isn't it interesting how they brought this big banking zealot in after Berejiklian, the Klinger? Remember I used to call that one Klinger? Gladys Berejiklian looked like Klinger from MASH. Unbelievable how this dirty, filthy, disgusting fiend was used to lock everybody down with the daily announcements and everything, and how they switched her out and they brought in this slick guy who's the smart city guy. You know what I mean? And they're all actors and people can't see it. And they're all going to vote for him. They love him. And he's outlining his pre-planned post-pandemic goals. Because it's all pre-planned. And I can see it everywhere. Every single day I go out and drive around Sydney area, you should see the tech that's going in everywhere. And there was an article came out. I don't have it in front of me. There was an article came out in the Australian mainstream media a few days ago, up the coast from me in Aries. They're putting in all these new street lights. Right, and they have all these weird objects on them that look like cameras, and the locals were getting weirded about it, and it went a bit viral online. And Energy Australia, who are implementing these new things, they basically admitted at the end of this article that I was reading that what they're doing is these are smart lights going in, and they're putting in these new technology in there which can track, trace, listen to, eavesdrop on conversations, film you, all of this stuff. they basically said that those capabilities are now installed in there, ready to go, but they're not active yet. And they actually admit in this article that this is for smart city infrastructure. So these weird lights that they're putting down, and keep in mind, I've seen videos of these lights overseas and people with their EMF readers around them, and they're going off the charts. Just zipping off the charts here. These things are beaming us with radiation, and they're microwaving us, and they're putting them all in our streets and everything, where they dim with the lighting. So if there's a bit of a storm coming in, they get a bit brighter. But if it's a lighter evening, they sort of dim down and change. This is what the power companies are building this on. This is what I was talking about with all our devices and our smart goods and everything we use in our homes and even our cars. But it was very interesting in this article to read Energy Australia admitting that this technology that has already been installed is not active at this moment, but they said at future dates for the smart city infrastructure grid, that can be activated to actually film people, to listen to their conversations, to track and trace you, all of this kind of stuff. So basically what they're doing, the system, is they're putting in tracking devices or ears and eyes into every corner of our lives. From when we leave the house to wherever we go, we're going to be tracked and traced in this new smart system. As I said, Big Brother is paranoid, man. Fucking paranoid. These are quantum tech to biotech sensors, semiconductors, tech centrals, and all of this. And it's growing. So these new city centers within cities and they're smart cities, they're being turbocharged on steroids, and it's all about saving energy and the climate. That's how they're getting it in. It's unbelievable, this plan of attack, how it's just being implemented, and the dumb public just buy into it over and over and over again. You look at the last elections; they just played out in the most perfect manner. The teal independents, the climate guys, the greens, oh my god, and now Perrottet. It's just, so this is smart city strategic framework. This is moving so fast, and the thing is, what makes me want to just give up here, to be honest, is that no one cares. And hardly anyone cares. And people, like 9 out of 10, they love their technology. They love this idea. They love this smart system where everything's just dished up to them on a silver platter. It's just easy. It's cool. It's slick. It's streamlined. It's just awesome. I just wanted to go back to this as well, because I'm moving all over the place here. I just wanted to go back to this from naturalnews.com because it was an interesting one. Just looking at the coldest day in Australia as well. I'm switch-footing here, I know. But this was Arctic cold wave to bring significant snow to the UK. This is again being ignored by the mainstream media. This is about an Arctic cold wave bringing snow and temperatures as low as minus 10 to the United Kingdom. I guess this is going to go across Norway and everything like that. I just wanted to, in Britain, they're preparing for a colder wave down to minus 10. But I thought it was global warming, so shouldn't they be sweating it out? I don't get it. Isn't all this smart city stuff going in, and the control of our lives and our jabs and everything? Aren't we giving up our lives and our physical forms and our souls to Big Brother to save the planet because it's global warming? And why are we experiencing our coldest days in summer? And why are they getting ready in Europe for Arctic blasts if the planet is all a desert and it's all warming? Hang on, folks. I just don't get it. Can anyone help me explain this? I don't understand. Anyway. Again, from Natural News as well, just going back to vaccinated people are dying at incredibly high pace in hyper-vaccinated Australia. Australia has recently reported an alarming and incredibly high 13% excess death rate for 2022. It's good that this is making the rounds. The Australian government is now considering launching an urgent investigation, they won't, into this rapid surge in the deaths among vaccinated people. Well, they're just going to say that it's been too hot, or people are taking too many naps, or people are having too many cold showers, or people are having too much sex, or people are thinking too much. People are not people are not watching enough mainstream media and Koshy in the morning. People are eating too many avocados. People are drinking too much water. People are using hot water bottles when they go to bed at night, and they're having heart attacks. Whatever it is, I'm sure they're going to make up. But it really is right there. An additional 15,400 people died in the first 8 months of the year in Australia. Right after the jabs, but don't worry, it's not the jabs. All these groups are working on this now, and all these institutes are starting to look at the driving here and the spikes in deaths after the jabs came into play. This normally goes around 1 or 2% as I covered on previous Nightwatch podcasts, and now it's 13% climbing, and it's even going to go beyond these levels. Even when they tell us that we have bad flu years, historically, it's not like this. Anyway, at least this is going kind of viral and going around the world, and other networks are picking it up. We went in Australia from one of the lowest vaccinated countries in the world for the COVID-19 jabs to one of the highest, with 64 million total vaccine doses administered nationally since the start of the rollout. And everybody around me are jabbed, I'm telling you, everybody. This is a very lonely existence. There's just us here and a couple of people that we know and communicate with, but everybody's got the jabs. Family, friends, close friends, everyone, neighbours, everyone's got them. So it's a highly inoculated country. But Australian government is now recommending a fifth vaccine dose, even after these statistics are coming through. And even after the vaccine manufacturers have just admitted that the vaccines don't stop transmission, the government are still recommending that you get more. So that was interesting anyway. And it's good that that has come out for people to see, because I did talk about it on the last podcast and I did post it. And as these deaths get higher and random deaths just go up and up and up and skyrocket, how are they going to keep putting a band-aid over this? It's like putting a band-aid over a sore that just keeps growing, and the band-aid keeps falling off, and the band-aid becomes too small, and the sore just gets too big and starts festering and spreading. I mean, how are they going to stop this? Because the death rates are just going to climb and climb. and the sickness, the illness, the death rates are going to climb and climb and climb. And it's happened right after those injections were introduced into this country. So it's very, very obvious. You've got the stats here, and then you've got the COVID injections, and then they just spike through the roof, and it's only going to get more extreme. So how long can they keep lying? How long can they keep making up stories and holding on here before the damn walls break and crack? And if we're looking at DeSantis and we're looking at the US, they're looking into this. So I'm just wondering where this is going to go. I mean, even if people say, well, you're never going to get, it's never going to happen. They're going to lie about everything, but how long can they keep lying for? That's my question. How long can this go on? It's just strange to me. Like, there has to be a point where it blows. It's absolutely nuts. It's crazy, man. Anyway, I'll plug out for my show tonight. As I said, I should be on with Jason tomorrow. I will really try to get him on tomorrow. I've been busy and I was supposed to be on with him today, but I got back too late. And then I'll try and do another Night Watch podcast and just get in the members area and check for them anyway. Everything's in the members area for the members now. So, you know, the main part of the website is pretty big and there's a lot going on and a lot of movement happening, I know. So the members area is just a place to go in and see everything that's the most recent for you guys. And then, as I said, I'll be away. It is my birthday tomorrow, the 15th, so happy birthday to me. And I'll be just seeing my folks up the coast over this weekend. We haven't actually had a holiday or been away since 2019. It's been hard here trying to keep going, and we haven't had much money or anything. And as a family unit, just trying to survive and keep going here and doing all of this. I put a lot of time and effort into this, you know. It's getting late here. I haven't had dinner yet, and I've got to try and get this up, you know. And I'm not complaining. It's great. I love it. This is what I'm here for, to do. But more support is much appreciated. It really helps me here, and it makes me really know that people care out there and like what I'm doing and understand, you know. Then I'll be back on Monday next week, and then, you know, Tuesday, sort of Wednesday, Dawn will be back, 15th, yeah, Dawn and Sharon and Shannon will be back, hopefully John Hamer will be back, so there'll be a bunch of, I'm going to try and get Johnny back on, there'll be a bunch of podcasts next week as well, and I'll be still trying to do the Night Watch podcast, and I'll try and put up a couple of the reading and observation podcasts, which are very different to these that I do. Those are just different ones. As I said, those reading and observation podcasts is extra content for just members who like to listen to podcasts, who enjoy them, like to listen to different fascinating things like that interest me and might interest you, and just like to listen to them like you would an audio book or something like that. And I just cover those things. So it's just extra content that I'm putting up for you guys. I'm sort of doing that, so enjoy that, and contact me through the website, of course. And moving towards Christmas here, folks, so I hope you you know, I'll keep checking in as we move towards Christmas, because we'll be at home here over the Christmas break. So if you guys are going away or going to go and see family, I hope that's a wonderful experience for you. But I'll be here plugging away doing things. The Night Watch podcast and the other ones that I do, they're quite random. So whenever I sit down here, I'll just do them. So keep active on the website and let us know what you think. And as always, thank you so much for your ongoing support. This is a member-funded website. That website does not exist without you guys. It absolutely does not. It can't. So in such a day of censorship and where they're trying to go now to criminalize us and even speaking freely and just thinking differently, it's unbelievable. So it is important to have our websites out there and running, and I just want to let you guys know that you help that to continue. with all those people going on the website, you know. It's and it's out there and it's safe and it's protected. That's a wonderful thing. And so I want you guys to feel awesome about that as well. The Kraz Files website exists because of you in this way. So it just can't go on without you guys. So take care. And please take care. And you guys are awesome. And I'll be back again soon. Thank you so much for your support and listening to me here tonight. Rant away.